Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have May Chang. Now, May founded Agility Marketing and created an awesome brand standing for her clients. She provides brand coaching and marketing implementation, helping businesses get revenue through agile marketing delivery. Now, before I came on, I said to May, that's the shortest bio that I've ever read on this show. We're going to learn a lot more about May as we go along. So welcome, May. I'm so glad that you could be here today.
And Janine, Alexite, thank you for this opportunity. It's always wonderful to meet new people and to also use different platforms for us to showcase our different dimensions of our personal and business brand.
Absolutely. And that's what we were just saying before we came on, isn't it? That I know we're going to talk about branding.
Yes.
But particularly, you know, people buy from people, and it's getting to know the individual. Now, we want to get to know a little bit more about you, May. And if you know, it doesn't have to be your full life history, but what got you to Australia, and you know, since you've been here, and what got you interested in the marketing part?
Thank you. I actually, was born in Malaysia and then went over to UK for my university education. But I always felt that Australia was kind of beckoning to me, and particularly Sydney. So while I could have settled in different parts of Australia, I think Sydney and the beaches and also having my brother in Sydney helped. So I knew Australia was going to be home because as much as I love Malaysia, I just felt that there was a certain freedom here whereby one is not judged, you know, by your race. And here it just offers so much liberty. In regards to how I came about my adventure into marketing. So I've been in quite a number of different roles in the corporate world, from your telecom to your IT to system integration and health and fitness. So it was actually part of a journey whereby I say, hey, I want to try different sectors, different industries, but are always in the front line. And particularly because I enjoy this curiosity about people. And over time, develop a sense of just knowing how to interact fairly quickly so that when even though you meet a stranger, they do let their guard down a little bit if you have certain personality that just resonates with them. And I think it's this whole sense of curiosity. If you're curious about a person, irrespective of background, corporate job title that they have, but just show that interest, people love it.
It's interesting that, and I've traveled a lot around the world, and I found certain cultures and countries have that same sort of curiosity, and they're very open in welcoming people and having. I love chatting to strangers. It drives my husband crazy, but I absolutely love it. And you just meet such interesting people, and it is that. I love that you've used that word curiosity, because that's what it is wanting to, it's not an interrogation of people, but wanting to know more about people and their life experiences. And this is one of the reasons that I absolutely have loved doing the We Are Women podcast over the last 4 years, because of that meeting and talking to so many interesting women who have got amazing stories to share. And it look, even if I didn't have any listeners and subscribers, I'd still do it, because I find that such a fascination. I'm glad you brought that up, but the word curiosity is it describes it well.
Nice. And I also like the part, Janine, where you say you love what you're doing, irrespective of whether you have an audience. If you love it, eventually it will flow out. And when it flows out, the world is so big. And we're talking about this, right? The world is my oyster. And if we own it, there is always somebody out there, your twin, whoever, who are like-minded and like spirit. And they will therefore engage and connect, because you speak the same language as they do. And so the pandemic itself, if we turn it around and say, what positive things came out of it? Many. We just need to adopt a positive mindset, and then you will see gold nuggets along the way.
That's positive mindset at when things change around you, and looking for the positive. I think that's so important, and particularly as it was through 2020, and I see going into 2021, we're going to be continuing to try and, you know, make sure that we find the positive out of the different responses. I run a mastermind group for women once a month, and in December, that's what we talked about, was the things that were challenges throughout the year. We had three questions: how we've helped other people throughout the year, what challenges we had, and also what amazing experiences came out of it, and what, you know, learnings and inspiration. And I think that's constantly looking for that rather than looking for the negative. It's otherwise, it's, you know, pulls you down into a bit of a slump, doesn't it, when you're finding a whole lot of stuff going wrong. Yeah. Now, when you are a branding expert, now this is where we're going with the branding expert, but I can see how that curiosity, it ties in so well with branding.
I think all of us, if we could adopt that curiosity, no matter what role you're in, sales, marketing, brand, operations, customer service, what you're doing then is putting the client, the prospect, as the center of your universe. That's customer-centric approach. You, first of all, you focus on the person, and then later on, as you get to know, it's about this whole sales process, right? You can't sell to somebody until you get that visitor, that prospect, that client to, first of all, get to meet you, know you, like you, before you can have really permission to say, now you can sell to me. So where then branding relates back to curiosity is that, okay, as a start of a brand, whether me as a business, I have a personal brand, I have a business brand, let me first find a way whereby I can reach out to my audience and then create that sense of curiosity for them to want to check me out.
Yes, that's interesting. That's turning it around as well. It's not just being you being curious, but it's someone being curious enough about you to check you out. It's really interesting. I meet some people, or I've had people randomly email me and they say, I've been checking you out and following you for a while, and I thought, now I'm going to get in touch, which is exactly what we want people to do when we're putting a whole lot of information out there to share with the world.
That's right. That's right. And I think now it's the new norm, because on a physical aspect, we may not be able to see each other, meet each other face to face to have that greeting and then to get to know you. And then later on, let's, you know, have some business dealings. It may also open your mind up to that, hey, I don't need to be physically there in order for us to eventually have a business relationship. I can now slowly put my brand out there and choose who my ideal clients are. And by knowing where they hang out, I can start appearing in their feeds, in their media. So there's this kind of balancing act to be between what media am I comfortable with versus what media are my ideal clients likely to hang out. And if they, if there is a disjoint, then we need to recalibrate. If we still want to pursue that particular client segment, to then start trying out those medias that resonate in order to reach out to our ideal clients who are where they are.
That's a really important point, isn't it? It was very interesting. I was at a executive meeting just before Christmas, and I'm saying just before Christmas, that this interview will probably come out in about February or March. So we'll... Anyway, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was challenged by it was an alternative board meeting, and I was challenged by the people on the board as to how I got my information to my market. Now, I have two markets. One is the micro business sole trader women who either are just starting out or they're really trying to, you know, grow their business, and that's who I run a lot of my online things with, individual training and the mastermind. So they hang out on Facebook. That's really easy to find them. That's the main place that I can locate them. And I have another market where it's this SMEs, and I run either executive presentation training or sales training for sales teams. That market, you know, I was talking about, I'll go, well, that's LinkedIn, and that, and these people were saying, we don't go there. So these are my clients in the room, and they're saying, well, we don't go there. We're too busy. And it was a really interesting point going, okay, now where do they hang out? Well, they hang out in their workplaces because they're so busy, and they don't, they can still maybe do some social media so that if you pop up somewhere, they'll go, oh, that's interesting, but it's not who they go looking for, really. And they go looking, if they want something, they'll Google it.
Very good points here. And sometimes we're kind of scratching our heads. Okay. Facebook is the social. LinkedIn is the business professional. So bound to hang out there. And also the way as we operate, right? As a business owner, you're likely to just have a bit more flexible time to check out different media feeds, and you can control your time. If you're a corporate professional, you're likely to have those, you know, official hours. And maybe even longer. So by the time you finish hanging out in the office and you come back and chill, you want nothing to do with business. Maybe they can go for Instagram.
I know. It was very, very interesting. And I was listening to some more training yesterday about different businesses as they go through the different sizes. And it's that small, you know, under 3 million to... the medium up to 50 million, And depending on the number of employees, that's when the owners are really working in their businesses and they are very, very busy. But for me, that's my target market because they're the ones that need to, that want to grow it to that next size from small to medium and have a little bit more time and make more money. And so it was really interesting. So either for me, it's either Google for that market and getting them the right message, that market as you'll explain as well, but it's also knowing really what I've got to do is find the businesses and knock on doors. That's part of what I need to do. And it's, we're so caught up in just doing social media, but your brand, then they got to go check you out. And this is where the brand comes in, isn't it?
That's right. And it's kind of in a way wonderful that if you have the capacity to handle your various channels to market with the same energy and the same focus, then bravo. But if you want to be personally involved and say, hey, my voice, my brand needs to be channeled through that tone of voice, the replies, the comments, etc., then either you check out, which is now very fashionable to have a virtual assistance, but make sure your virtual assistant is your right-hand person because that person needs to be a mirror image of you in terms of your voice and how you respond. And if there's a disjoint, people sniff it out so fast and say, that's not you. And I'm going to switch you off from my feet, forever until you behave, until the real you comes back on, because we want to deal with the authentic person, right? So,
yeah, that's a really important factor. I know I've had a couple of different VAs and giving them very general sort of tasks because of that concern about losing my personality in anything that they do. So it's more, I still create it and then they put it out there and do that part of the work. Yeah, it's, and I've seen exactly what you've said is people who have left it to others to do, and it definitely doesn't come across as their authentic self. And I suppose, I mean, part of that too is, and a really important part is having a marketing plan, isn't it? Because that will help you with time and at least knowing, and if you've got a VA, knowing what you're doing.
Quite so. For sometimes smaller business, right, you don't want to have too many plans to juggle with, right? So, but sometimes we also kid ourselves to say, oh, we have a business plan that should kind of cover everything. It does the SWOT analysis. It does my strategic goals, etc. But brand, your brand is your brand legacy. It's your business legacy. So whatever you project out there, whether you make a decision, make a comment or not make, it's saying something about your brand. So having a marketing plan includes how you want to project your brand, where you want to hang out with, what are you going to say when you do work out where you want to hang out, how frequent do you want to say something or get response. And I think also, so having a marketing plan is important because it gives you clarity about your ideal client sets. It may be one, or it may be, in your case, two different groups. And you want to be able to even imagine what they look like. Where do they hang out? What will you say when you find them? What do they want you to solve when they find you? Or perhaps let's establish a relationship first. Give me a bit of idea, what you're like to deal as a person. And this is where I will go into later on about what does your brand stand for? And that comes back probably to the business values that hold you dear and actually forms the cornerstone of your business. Because it's is like, okay, what is your character versus your personality?
Yeah.
You can have a same solid character, but like an actor, you can have various personalities depending on who you talk to.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, I'm in a past life, my role was the general manager of sales for a multi-million dollar company. And so I would be presenting to CEOs and leading people within, you know, different types of organizations and semi-government organizations and delivering a proposal for tenders and those type of things. And I also would be going on to construction shop floor with the blokes. And you've got to fit into and be comfortable in all of those. So I didn't change who I was. I just changed the way I presented myself without lowering. It wasn't a lowering type of thing. It was just making them feel more comfortable and within that process. Yes, so you do have to have it. And that's the same when you're marketing, isn't it? The different conversation with different people.
Like so. And it really kind of like leads on perhaps to, you know, something again dear to me, which is there's no separation between brand, marketing, and sales. Mm. They may be different departments, but they're all so intrinsically linked together. Mm. Because if you have sales, but you don't have brand, you don't have a solid brand, you have minimal marketing, it's going to be a transactional sale. It'll be a once-off because you don't have your relationship built up. And so what they're buying cheapest. Yeah. Hmm. So that becomes kind of the strength and it may be that unique selling proposition. But when you start having a brand, and that brand becomes many layers and many dimensions, boy, do you have a great story telling material.
Yes. And part of that, you know, having that brand, and as we're talking about having a marketing plan, you then you need to follow it through though, don't you? You know, it's really important. It's I'm a little bit, I won't say OCD because that's not me at all, but I'm very good at preparing and I set up automated marketing, automated posts through Hootsuite, and just so that just saves it if I'm away and that or doing something, I'm still there, I'm presence. And I have a quote that goes out on across each social media platform a different day of the week. And that is now programmed up until the 31st of December 2021. I know.
You're my hero, Janine. So well organized.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You'll never miss your presence.
No, they won't with that. And the podcasts are all programmed for 3 months and, you know, different marketing then and the promotion of the different workshops or freebie things I'm running are all programmed out for a month. And then
you are very well organized. And I think more and more now is that having a brand presence is not enough. You have to have it consistent so that you're slowly building up anticipation. Like, oh, this Janine, she has something solid and interesting to say. When is she coming up again? Oh, Every Thursday. Every Thursday, she hits the sweet spot. 8 o'clock, she's already on. And so slowly, you are also creating the anticipation for your clients or your ideal tribe to expect when to see you. And if you do it consistently, not only will they then say, hey, that's the highlight of my day. She's there to cheer me up. I just need that dose.
That is a good point. It's not something I've thought of from that perspective. It's just me giving things out, but it's the, and I do, I get lots of great comments from, you know, quite a few regulars. So yes, that's exactly what happens. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So I think, yeah, so agree with you that you need to have a marketing plan, because it also, it highlights to you who are your ideal clients. It also helps you clarity on, okay, there's many media and platforms you can be on, but let's kind of link it back to where the clients are, and then maybe start with one or two platforms, because it's not like, oh, tick in the box. Yes, I'm on Facebook. Oh, tick on the box. Yes, my profile is now on LinkedIn. It is about, that's the start of it. It's just like building the best website. You build a website and then what? That is just the start of when, how do you start creating traffic, creating people to notice, to check it up and drive traffic to your website, attract people with interesting posts. So again, it's not just tick in the box. Oh, I have just posted. Now I just sit back. It's about creating relevant, interesting posts that people say, ah, oh, that is adding value. Oh, I never knew that. I'll come back again. So it's attract me once and then get me coming back all the time. And then the next stage is, oh, I don't want my friends to miss out on this. I'm going to share and forward to them and say, hey, come, let's hang out as a group and, you know, hang out on the podcast with Jeanine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool. And you talked a little bit about your business and life. I know I tend to be very open, particularly with my, you know, Facebook and Insta posts as to what's going on in my life as well as the business. And I see that as a continuation of who I am. But I know there's other people that do not share any of the personal things on their social media, and either just keep it very separate for the business or keep their social media private a lot of the time, and then just have a business page as well. And it's two different camps, isn't it, when it comes to that? What's your opinion with that?
I think I had actually slowly now change my opinion. I used to be, okay, business is business. Gotta put on that serious front. If not, they won't, you know, even, you know, take me seriously. And then on my social front is like, oh, I'm a party animal. Only my friends know about it. So I don't even kind of put it on Facebook. But I think here is again the new world whereby, you know, this whole thing about, oh, you gotta be that authentic you, because people will see through and you don't want to deal with you. You can totally have your business brand and, you know, project that professionalism, quality of I'm on time, I do things on budget, etc. Those are also a part of your brand promise. But nothing in the script says that, hey, Mei Chang cannot be fun when I'm doing business with you. You can allow a bit of that quirkiness, a bit of that dry humor to come out. And in fact, by kind of like showcasing a bit of that, I mean, the other real you. We have so many real us, right? You are also saying that, hey, there are different dimensions of me, and I would love to actually have people kind of like know me as I am. I'm still going to be nice and polite. I'm still going to be a very positive person. But in fact, I enjoy beauty. I enjoy nature. I love good food. I love my coffee. So, but those are kind of, it's not that it's a business. It's part of me, but it also can be embraced as part of your business setting.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah, I'm glad you're sort of along those lines, and I know that's changed in time over time as well. That more people are got more comfortable in people getting to know them as who they are, as not as opposed to just in the business. And I find it's really interesting. Then what I find is then people are quite comfortable with you when you do post something business on a social page. It's not, they're not confronted by it, but yes.
Quite so.
Yeah. And moderating opinions on things. I think that's really important. Yeah. So many times I've gone to post something or, and then I've gone delete because it's not something that it would cause. You still have your own opinions on stuff, and yes, it's don't complain about people, which I don't do anyway. But it's sometimes you just you have a right to an opinion, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily productive to share that with on social media. It's ring a friend instead and download. I think that's
quite so. Or put on the music very loud and just go.
Absolutely.
I think to close that point about our business brand and personal brand, I find that sometimes it's a little bit it takes up a lot of time trying to split between the two and say, oh, how should I behave on this level versus this. So I would love to see how, you know, we can eventually say, hey, our business and our personal brand can actually sit in harmony quite well. More and more is going to be more merged together rather than I want to keep it too separate because it's still one person.
Yes. And yeah, we are. We are the person, and especially when you're a sole trader and people are dealing with the person as well. I am very direct when I'm, particularly when I'm doing training, and I will always, because I'm training people in sales or speaking, and you're going to get uncomfortable, but that is good. You know, that's part of what we do, and then help people feel good about what they're doing and how they're presenting as well. The other things about branding is, I've had my business since 2007, so that's 13 going on 14 years. I worked very much part-time in it while I was a GM and more full-time in the last few years. But it's not something, it's long-term, isn't it? It's not something that you can just say, here I am this person, and have an expectation that people are going to flock to you without. Is it my right? You know, that's that consistency. It's over time as well.
Well, for sure. I think, you know, when you start your, when you kickstart your business or you have it for a longer time, in the end, it's actually meeting either a certain, your vision of why you're in, why you're passionate about running your business and who does it benefit. And in the end, that question of legacy, it could be a legacy for whoever you pass it on to. It could be you're doing it for your family. You could be doing it for yourself. It could be a survival. There's so many reasons why we go into business, but because we have a chance to then make it our own, make it the best, make it proud. But also, you know, once you say, hey, I have a brand, doesn't mean it becomes set, because as the world and external and internal forces keep on evolving, your brand also have to keep on evolving and embrace new things. But what keeps it steadfast is, what is it built on? To me, I build it very much on my business values, which are really actually my core values. And when I reflect about on it, it's like, hey, these are actually values that were instilled in me when I was young. this whole part about adding value and adding more. It doesn't maybe equate to the fees that you charge, but if you can, if you see an issue, a problem, you bring it to the attention of your client or a prospect, and if you resolve it with a solution, but you see a better way of doing it, sometimes it may not equate to the dollar value, but you can still do it because why? You can do it.
Yes, that evolution and recognizing that there is an evolution within your business and your brand. I know the title of my business has changed over that time, and I've had a different name of the business and the form of the branding, and it's also got more stylish, and it's got more focused on the market, and that happens as you build a business. You have more money to invest in getting things that, you know, look flashier, or they look a little bit even more professional. And so, but that's part of what that evolution of a business is, that it's still being consistent to that one brand all the way through.
That's right. That's right. And I think also getting back to your point is that, hey, we got a lot of plans, but it's also good as only when you execute it. Mm. So brand, we have lots of plans. In fact, we have even more ideas. Every day we churn out ideas, right? And then after that, you try and remember what they are. You can't remember because you're on to the next one. So ideas and plans, they are kind of parked on our shelves. But oh, the more successful people you find are those that say, hey, out of all these, I'm going to pluck those that are priority, those that are passion projects. And from there, I'm going to see it end-to-end execution. And by doing that, you have this whole satisfaction that, hey, an idea, a concept is now designed, is now developed, implemented, and there are then these impacts and benefits. But it doesn't stop there. I'm going to analyze it and see how I can further refine it so that it can be a better product, a better service for my clients and new prospects, new markets. And I think this is where entrepreneurs, they get the buzz. Mm-hmm. They may be the idea people, but they also find whether it's the same person falling through the whole execution to the results, or then picking and forming team members who have similar fit to their culture, to their mindset, and say, help me execute so that I can actually see the fruit of my creation.
Mm.
And you
yes.
get total satisfaction out of it.
Yes, yes. And I totally agree with the planning and the implementation. Every January, I run a half-day workshop, which is on planning and goal setting and doing an analysis of what you want to do, and it's your business. Because I get people to write and their one-page business plan, and I have a lot of people turn up, the same people turn up each year, and because it's changed, so they rewrite it. It may not be changed a great deal, but they rewrite that one-page business plan, and then from there they can develop their marketing plan because they know where they're focused. I've written a couple of books, and I've got people in the US at the moment chasing me to invest in getting books sold around the world, and it sounded like a good idea. And but I've gone through my plan and my business plan for the year. That's not my focus this year. It's absolutely not my focus. It's that training in that SME market that's my focus this year. So it's a waste of finances, a waste of time, a waste of anything to do that with these other group. It may be something that's worthwhile in 12 months time, but it's not now. And it's, I think that's important for people to realize where their focus is, and what, when you're talking about the planning, what is the focus? And as I said, I planned out all those other automated stuff, but once the automated things are there, that's to that particular market. I don't have to touch that again. And then I've got the time to focus on what's the priority for me.
How wonderful to hear that. And Janine, this is where this kind of what called looping back, right? You can have a plan. You can have lots of wanting to execute projects as a follow through from that plan. But hopefully on a regular basis, whether it's half a year, whether it's quarterly, you reassess by revisiting. Is it fitting to the plan? When you have a new idea, how does that fit in? When you want to do a whole range of social media posts, oh, what is the theme? Don't willy-nilly pick out, topics and just say, boom, it goes. Maybe if you have more structure, and this actually equates back to being productive.
Mm-hmm.
Having a theme as well as then, I mean, it's a marketer's dream, right? To say, hey, if we structure things accordingly, you can actually become more productive. Even when you write things with a vigor and with a passion and with enjoyment, because it's kind of like related, you know where it fits in. If it's International Women's Day, now let's, ramp up on several pieces that highlights, and celebrate women, rather than doing one article that is articles that don't align to seasonal themes or themes that may resonate with your brand.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it? To do that, and it is relevant. It's interestingly, each month for what I'm running the next month, I have done all of that, even just the quotes in those inspirational things are quotes on topics of the workshops or the freebie things I'm throwing the next month. So they lead into what I'm doing. I know every month's got a theme for me, and it does help because I write a blog once a week as well. It goes out to all my clients, and I know it's you should see how my brain works, mate.
It is so organized and it's so organized in advance, right? I just recently came across these just string of words which I love: look back, look forward, but please look around.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's so, it is. Look, I love that. I'm going to use that somewhere. If I can steal that, look.
Oh, forward. Please steal that. So if you write a blog about that, I write a post about it, and we do a video, eventually it'll all meet together, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the important thing as well. I walk each day, and I walk around a beautiful water area and with reflections on the water and wildlife and pelicans and things, and it is stopping. And yesterday a couple of days ago, there was a branch that had two water monitors on it, and then a duck sitting behind it, and then a turtle on another branch. It was fabulous that these animals were there. But that's part of the look around, isn't it? It's part of being really present in what you're doing. And we can get so caught up in business and planning and everything that we're doing, and we do forget to just experience life and enjoy life.
And Janine, don't you kind of sometimes find that it is when you're still and present that you're at your most creative?
Mm.
I bet you, because you're Instagram, you have your own Instagram platform, you'll be whipping out your mobile phone and say, "Oh, that is the most beautiful picture." Click, click.
It is. Now I'm just bragging. Okay. A few years ago, I was talking about Instagram to somebody that teaches how to make the most out of Instagram. And I said, I really don't do anything in it, and I don't think about doing it. So what I decided to do was do a grateful. So day number and grateful. And that way you had to take a photo of something, because Insta's a very visual. And it made me think about the things I was grateful for. And I posted something up each day. So we're up to day 1535.
You have many years ahead of me.
So, yes, it was a few years ago. Divide that up into 365 days. But it does. It's created a routine. That's what that is. It's a routine and looking for something that is going to give you that I'm grateful for this today. Sometimes it's a flower.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's just that I'm grateful for that.
Flower to you, spider to me, spider and spider webs. I just love that morning dew on the spider web.
Yeah, so do I. I don't like walking into them, but I like when people have been on the path before me, but I love them when they're across the top of the path and they're looking stunning. That's good. Nice. Hey, we have covered so much, so many topics, but particularly that focus on the branding and putting a marketing plan together and getting, you know, really focused on your brand. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up at all, May?
I think it's like, you know, particularly as women podcast, that what is important, particularly to kind of like help women have the confidence and have the momentum. We are all kind of, in a way, there's lots of ideas. And sometimes in the business of life, whether we're working part-time, full-time, in our own business or in the corporate world, it's about taking stock about, yes, if I represent the corporate brand, let me be so proud and own that part of the corporate brand and parts that resonate so much with you that you could champion it going forward. When it is your own brand, even all the more, you have that, you know, creative control, ownership control of how you want to navigate your brand. And don't wear yourself out by trying to say, hey, I need to be on all the platforms, because it actually takes up a lot of resource, a lot of planning. Unless they are like you, Janine, already all got them on auto.
When I started doing training, I realized that not everyone does this. It's have little compartments in the brain, so I can switch from one topic to the next without it. I don't overthink things. I think that's it. And I'm not a perfectionist. I like things to be good, but not. They don't have to be perfect. That certainly helps.
I'm like you, be the imperfect perfect.
Yeah, that's it. Makes life easier. Look, May, I've really enjoyed our conversation and it has gone so quickly again. How can people find you? And we'll have also have it on the show notes, but how can people find you?
Well, I hang out a lot on LinkedIn, so do connect with me. Check out some of my posts. I do YouTube videos on Tuesdays, whereby the theme can kind of toggle between to be or not to be. Be inspired, be perfect, be fun, etc. Or to other topics could be better. Better to be a show off rather than to have a showdown. So all these videos are just 1 minute, because it's talking nonstop for 1 minute, so I don't draw breath. And then on Thursdays, I tend to write a post about from a quirky brand and marketing perspective. So that's my brand presence there. So you can also check me out on YouTube, and recently I'm a new Instagram personality.
Okay. So is that under your name? Is it under your name, May?
So it's Agility Marketing with May Chang. Both
Agility
of them.
Marketing. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's the good part, whereby we dip our toes into the water, do something that maybe we're not be comfortable with, but if you do it over time, the imperfect becomes perfect.
Yes, the imperfect becomes perfect. That's excellent. And I know that you offer a free discovery chat as well.
I think that discovery chat is really for both party to just to get to know each other first. And when you do that, you then start exploring, do we kind of like share similar values? What type of culture do you have for your business? And then it's a bit of an audit discussion about where are you with your marketing and brand and the planning bit. And yeah, I'm surely from that 30 minutes, we could kind of like highlight, you know, one or two areas whereby these are things you can go for and tweak.
You certainly could. And that's very generous. How can people find that discovery call to book in?
Just go on LinkedIn, and then in the contact details, my email, or even message me on LinkedIn, and we go from there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, May. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and it's been a whole lot of fun.
It has been with you. Thank you, Janine.
You're most welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to, if you're not making enough sales in your business, or you're just not sure where to go next and you're feeling a little bit lack of confidence, and to go to my website, JanineVosper.com, and book in for a discovery call there. And we can have a chat. There's no obligation and no cost, just to help you, you know, take those steps that you need to be able to take to feel really good about your business and where you're going with it. I'd love to have that conversation with you. So JanineVosper.com, and I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.